Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, researchers behind a massive pilot program using rapid antigen and saliva testing are looking to recruit 8,000 students and staff from four Irish universities. The hope is that the testing program, which is called UNICOV, could provide evidence of how we can limit COVID-19 outbreaks in third level campuses. I'm joined now by Paddy Mallon, Professor of Microbial Diseases at the UCD School of Medicine, who is one of the people behind this program, and also by Tom O'Connor, a second-year student at NUIG, who's one of the volunteers. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might turn to you, Professor Mallon, first of all, just to get an explanation as to what UNICOV actually is.
So good evening, Cormac. The UNICOV study really dates back to the publication of the Ferguson Report earlier in the year. That was a report on use of rapid testing in society, and that report recommended that the country instigate a series of large-scale pilot testing programs to see what works and what doesn't work. And what happened from that was Professor Breda Smith, who's the lead on the study, she's based over in NUIG and a public health specialist, she gathered together a team from four universities. So that's UCD, University College Cork, NUIG and Trinity College. And we submitted an application to Science Foundation Ireland in collaboration with the Department of Further and Higher Education, Department of Health and the HSE, to roll out this study. And there's been teams working in the universities for the last couple of months setting up quite a complex infrastructure to get this study up and running.
Okay, so let's give people, Paddy, a taste of what's happening at each university. It's 2,000 volunteers, isn't that right? That's what you're looking for from each university. What will they have to do then?
So everyone who enrolls will be allocated. We're asking people to do two types of testing. So the first type is a home antigen test, which a lot of people will be familiar with from, you know, the media and whatnot. It's a test that can be taken by the person themselves. It's a nasal swab. They do the test at home and they record the results as part of the study. The second one's a bit more novel in that it's a saliva sample. So saliva sample is relatively easy to give. And what we're doing is looking at two different types of tests on that, the traditional PCR test that people would be familiar with, and then a more novel, what's called a rapid lamp test, which is a very quick turnaround test. And what we're really trying to do with this study in a large group of people is to figure out which of the tests performs best, which tests people like doing and which they don't like doing, and also which test frequency works, if people will participate in this either on an 8-week basis or they could be randomized just to do it at 2 weeks at a time.
Okay.
So we'll gather a huge amount of information out of this large-scale study in the next few weeks, we're hoping.
So how many, it won't be a daily test for people, will it?
No, we're asking people to test twice per week.
Okay.
That really comes from data that shows that if you're testing frequently at intervals, not only are you better prepared for testing, but you probably get more robust results from the testing strategy.
Okay. You said as well, something I didn't think of, Paddy, that you mentioned there, which tests they like to do. It didn't occur to me, Ori, but that is a factor, I suppose, if there's any kind of nasal swabbing to be done. How reliable will it be, though, if volunteers have to do or administer the tests themselves?
So the tests that we're using have actually been approved by the HSE, and they've actually been good collaborators. And this is the test that the HSE are currently rolling out nationwide in their pilots. It's been approved actually for this home testing use, so for self-swabbing, which is just a swab from the anterior or the front of the nose, and then pretty simple instructions of how the person can do the test themselves and record the results. So we're really hopeful that these tests will work, but the key here, as you say, is working out, is this feasible? So will people actually do this?
Mm-hmm.
And is it acceptable? Is it the sort of thing that people are going to roll in behind and do on a continual basis?
We have an awful lot of people, Paddy, telling us that this type of antigen or rapid testing is needed quickly to, look at the 14,000 close contacts in primary and secondary schools, for example, who are at home awaiting tests as well or awaiting clarification. Will this be rolled out to third level on a routine basis if you're finding it works?
So there's a huge investment being put in by the government. The government have established a rapid testing advisory group to advise all sectors of government in terms of how these tests can be used. And I think that if studies and large-scale pilots like this show that this is actually implementable and it's acceptable, then I think that there is a commitment to roll these out on a larger scale.
When do you know? How quickly could that happen?
So the UNICOV study is reporting results continually. What we're really hoping is that we'll get, with the return of students to university campuses, we'll get a big uptick in recruitment. We're looking for 8,000. We've got just over 1,000 so far. The study is reporting continually, so week on week we'll be able to record results. And if we see an impact, a significant impact early on, we'll be relating that back to the relevant departments of government that we've been keeping in contact with on a weekly basis. So it's really about getting as many people on board, getting the results as quickly as we can so that we can implement the testing if it's shown to be effective and feasible as rapidly as we can.
Okay, stay with me, Professor Paddy Mallin, if you will, for a moment, because that's the professor's view on one side of this programme, to see if there's an early warning COVID outbreak system that can be developed here. Let's get a volunteer view now, because student Tom O'Connor has volunteered. You're in NUIG, Tom, I think. You're very welcome to Drive Time. You volunteered for this testing programme. What is it going to involve now for yourself?
Good evening, Cormac. Yeah, well, I signed up in the hope that things would become more normal, because last year everything was online, so anything to try and make things more normal. I've been put in Group 2, which entails twice-weekly testing for 2 weeks. And as the professor was saying, there are two tests as part of that, a nasal swab, and then also saliva into a tube, which is dropped onto the campus.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any of these tests yet?
Yes, I did one on Monday and Thursday.
Okay, so it's not too onerous, is it?
No, not at all. You wouldn't look forward to it. You don't say, oh, great, I get to do this now in the morning. But it's not the worst thing in the world if it means that it's some way to keep people on campus.
And how quickly can it be done, Tom?
Very quickly. You can have everything done, everything bagged, everything, all the results logged within 20 minutes, half an hour most.
Okay. And when you do you get the result pretty quickly yourself? Is that how you find out? Is it self-administered? The result comes from the test kit itself. Is that right?
With the antigen test, yeah, within 15 minutes, the result will come up with sort of a red bar that rises, and it says, luckily it said negative for me both times this week. And then the saliva test comes back in the afternoon generally.
And tell me what happens then if you did get a positive test, a positive result.
Well, at the moment, if you're sent the result, as you know, their antigen tests aren't 100% accurate, they're only 72% accurate. So that as a basis, they say that the result may mean that you're not negative, you are actually positive. If you get a positive test with the antigen test as part of UNICOV, you're advised to get a proper test in the COVID test centre and then go from there, follow the protocol.
Yes, stay with me, Tom, for a second. I mean, it strikes me, Professor Mallin, that, and we've spoken with the unions, the secondary and the primary school unions, who've talked about the 14,000 plus students who are at home for the next while because they're close contacts. This could be useful. I mean, do you see a role for this in the education system generally, or any other place, out of workplaces, for example?
So I think that the basic concept here of reducing risk of SARS-CoV-2 transmission when people are gathering together, whether that's on campus, whether it's in schools, whether it's in the workplace, the basic concept is the same right across all of these societies and all of these departments of government, for example. If UNICOV does show that there is a benefit, it establishes feasibility within a really important population, and then that can be extended into other sectors. The government, just to reiterate, are behind this, and I think there is a push towards trying to get these programs in place. The key to the why you do this, though, is preparing yourself, so preparing a sector, whether it's school or whether it's workplace, to be able to test if you need it. You know, you may not need it today, but we don't know what's ahead of us in the months ahead with winter coming in. And really, it's about the logistics, what works, what doesn't work, and preparing society for every eventuality and using testing to its maximal impact to reduce the risk of SARS-CoV-2.
Tell me, before I let you go, you're also testing wastewater, is that right? Why is that being done?
Yeah, so that's a program, again, that's coordinated out of UCD by Professor Wim Meyer that the HSE have funded, where he's been looking at wastewater all around the country. And it can be a surrogate for the appearance of SARS-CoV-2 within a population. So, for example, within meat processing plants, they can look at wastewater from meat processing plants, detect the virus, and gives them an indication that there may be someone in the plant with SARS-CoV-2. So they're exploring that also within the university settings, within the four universities. And that's another part of the armamentarium that we have within the surveillance and risk reduction piece that UNICOV is looking to address. Mm-hmm. Just if it could, Cormac, if any, we're really keen for all the students and staff out there who may be interested, if they could just go to unicov.org, that's the sort of landing page, they'd be able to navigate through that page to all of the four universities that are participating, and if they're interested, they can register through that website.
I was just going to give that address. It's unicov.org, and you've got 1,000 volunteers so far, isn't that right?
1,000 so far, and rising rapidly, and we'd be really keen to try and fully recruit as quickly as we could.
Okay, you'd recommend it, Tom?
Definitely, without a doubt.
Okay, anything to keep you on campus, you say. Look, thank you very much indeed for that. I'm sure you will get an awful lot of volunteers because it sounds very exciting indeed. Tom O'Connor, NUIG student, and Professor Paddy Mallon, thank you very much indeed for telling us about unicov.org. And that is the address if you want to volunteer or if you're interested and want more information on that.